Blog Talk Radio.
Shoeshine Boys was a pedophile ring serving the American military.
American children abandoned by their American soldier fathers. John Wetterer moved to Guatemala, where he set up Mi Casa, a program for homeless boys. McCauley then set up a charity called Friends of Children, which helped to fund Mi Casa. All right. In 1988, John Wetterer was accused by 60 Minutes of sexually abusing a number of boys. Well, eventually, Wetterer was indicted for fraudulently soliciting money to support his sexual abuse of children. In 1,000 Points of Blight, Father Bruce Ritter mixing with the teenage boy prostitutes of New York. There's a picture of him here. Father Ritter was a vice president of AmeriCares. Robert McCauley, a friend, McCauley's friend, Father Bruce Ritter, set up a charity called Covenant House as a cover for a pedophile ring. And Covenant House procured children in Guatemala and elsewhere. Well, Ritter had sex with the boys in his care. And Father Ritter spent weekends at McCauley's estate in Connecticut, according to a former Covenant House employee. And they talk about the Franklin cover, which we studied quite well.
Guatemala, and they have a picture of Guatemalan children with the Toy Box charity, which has links to the CIA front organization World Vision,
which is a pedophile ring.
In Guatemala, Covenant House was launched by Roberto Elijoas Oruz, who had ties to the CIA.
Now, Bob McCauley was an American saint and friend of child abusers and terrorists. Okay, well, Robert McCauley's Connecticut home is filled with books about war and military affairs, according to visitors. He and the young George Bush became friends and schoolmates, going from kindergarten to Phillips Andover and eventually to Yale. That's George H.W. Bush. And Bush has been linked to the pedophile ring that kidnapped Johnny Gosch. Okay, back in, that was through the...
McCauley claimed that he had served in the OSS, the forerunner of the CIA, during the Second World War. McCauley was a piano player in a brothel in Paris, used by the OSS. In Paris, Peter Grace, chairman of the Advisory Committee of AmeriCare, wandered into either a cat house or a saloon where Bob McCauley was playing the piano. An ex-client describes McCauley as a smooth charmer, bullshit artist. 1,000 Points of Blight, January 8, 1991. J. Peter Grace, Nazi Catholic oligarch.
And he stated, I am deeply...
Something.
Yeah, hang on, it flashes here. I am a deeply committed Catholic and patriot. One can't let that interfere with business, can one? And he was a Nazi Catholic oligarch. And Peter Grace was chairman of AmeriCare's advisory committee. Peter Grace was president of the Knights of Malta in the USA. And Grace has an unfortunate attraction to those with Nazi roots.
Dr. Otto Ambrose, who invented thalidomide for the Nazis, in one case in 1958, J. Peter Grace petitioned the U.S. ambassador in Germany to allow the immigration of Dr. Otto Ambrose. Dr. Otto Ambrose worked during the war for IG Farben and that firm that developed Zyklon B gas used in the extermination camps.
And Dr. Otto Ambrose developed a drug known as thalidomide, distributed by the company now known as Diego.
Reportedly, Diego helps to fund AmeriCares.
Huh.
10,000 babies were born with physical deformities and brain damage caused by thalidomide. Ambrose had been convicted by the Nuremberg Tribunal of Mass Murder and practicing slavery for his role in providing Farben with 200,000 laborers from Auschwitz.
In his petition, Grace said that he admired Ambrose not only for his ability, but more important for his character.
Oh, God, help us, huh?
Grace hired him as a technical advisor for his company. And Nazi scientists, there's a picture of Nazi scientists who went to work for CIA under Operation Paperclip. And in that paperclip, I think, was the one that brought all the Nazis to the United States after the war. In Latin America, the Grace family business has presided over a multi-billion-dollar empire. Highly placed members of the government, including the police, have worked for W.R. Grace.
Grace co-founded the American Institute for Free Labor Development, which took public pride in the role of its trainees in overthrowing reformist governments, and including the Goulart administration in Brazil in 1964. I don't remember that.
But
many charities are now run by the CIA and its friends.
Well, there's a map, too. It shows AmeriCares in India. India has a lot of terrorism, which has been linked to the CIA.
Many charities are now run by the CIA and its friends. Robert McCauley's AmeriCares is George Bush's favorite charity and represents the right-wing Catholic faction for the CIA. The article, 1,000 Points of Blight, January 8, 1991, tells us more. A six-month Village Voice investigation of AmeriCares found its founder, advisory committee, and benefactors are almost exclusively powerful right-wingers with close ties to the intelligence community, President and ex-CIA Director George Bush, and the most conservative elements of the Catholic Church. Sometimes AmeriCares seems more interested in the needs of its corporate donors, many of whom give the charity unpopular or soon-to-expire medicines for which they get hefty tax write-offs. The group effectively contributes to armed conflicts that worsen the plight of the needy, takes sides in those classes, and ships the vast majority of its goods into prime ideological battlefields. Victims of Lockerbie, AmeriCares gave help to the fascist Contras in Nicaragua. This was at the time when the CIA was secretly supplying the Ayatollah Khomeini, whom it had put into power with weapons. Iran-Contra involved heroin. Reportedly, the downing of a Pan Am 103 over Lockerbie by the CIA was an attempt to cover up the CIA's trade in heroin. The Knights of Malta is an AmeriCare partner. It has close links to the intelligence organization. Members have included former CIA Director William Casey and John McCone, who helped direct the 1973 military coup in Chile, former CIA Chief of Counterintelligence James Buckley, Alexander Haig.
America began pumping millions of dollars into supplies into Afghanistan in 1983. Much of the impetus came from America's honorary chairman, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and Carter's national security advisor.
What a coincidence.
Yeah,
in one bizarre 1984 episode, AmeriCares evacuated wounded Mujahideen soldiers to Walter Reed Army Hospital in Washington, D.C.
In addition to honorary chairman Brzezinski, there is a seven-member advisory board that includes J. Peter Grace, head of the American Association of Sovereign Military Order of Malta, right, and Prescott Bush, and who is the retired General Richard Stilwell, Ronald Reagan's Pentagon intelligence czar. Stilwell in the Vietnam War, was a key proponent of the Strategic Hamlet program, in which millions of villagers were forced from their homes into camps.
In 1983.
Nice
guys. Stilwell was involved in the formation of a super-secret Army spy unit, the Intelligence Support Activity, which operated in El Salvador, Nicaragua, and parts of Africa. In 1987, Stilwell paid a private visit to the Philippines, sponsored by private health relief organizations. Shortly after he left there was an abortive coup. Philippines media reports charged him with involvement.
And No,
for
Rockefeller was a Knight of Malta, yeah.
Right. America has shipped $14 million
Nelson Rockefeller, who was Gerald Ford's vice president.
In aid to Central America. In Honduras, it went to Contra-controlled refugee camps. In Guatemala, to military authorities who distributed it while involved in brutal counterinsurgency programs that have left tens of thousands dead or missing.
And we got even more guys here. Robert Alejos, in AmeriCare Central American is AmeriCare's Central American coordinator.
Alejos typifies the 2.2% of Guatemalans who, according to UNICEF, own two-thirds of the arable land and live in opulence. While 90% of their country people live in abject poverty, and three-quarters of all children under five are malnourished. Roberto Alejos, he's a thug in a business suit, says Jean-Maurice Simon, author of Guatemala, Eternal Spring, Eternal Tyranny.
Time and again, Alejos, a wealthy plantation owner, has been implicated in kidnapping, coups, and death squad actions. In 1980, three American Catholic nuns and a lay missionary were beaten, raped, and shot to death by an El Salvador government death squad. Reportedly, Roberto Alejos of AmeriCares ran the Mano Blanco death squad. Now, I'm hoping it gets into this, but, you know, all those death squads in South America were overseen by Negroponte, okay,
mm-hmm.
who was the...
He's a horrible man.
Oh, my God, you know, who ran Central Intelligence and everything under Reagan.
According to the North American Council on Latin America, as with most of the Guatemalan elite, there is circumstantial evidence linking, did you just read this? Alejos to La Mano Blanca, one of the most virulent of the death squads, which specialized in the disappearance of political opponents, routine torture, and machine gun executions. Victims included students, priests, labor leaders, journalists, teachers, peasant activists, and members and leaders of moderate opposition parties, all perceived to be communists because of their calls for social and economic reform.
A number of workers on Alejos' sugar plantations who had tried to strike or organize were killed, according to researcher Alan Nairn, formerly of the Council on Hemispheric Affairs. Alejos' plantation served as a CIA training ground for the Bay of Pigs invasion, and... using tactics developed in Vietnam and promoted there by AmeriCare's advisory board member General Stilwell, the Guatemalan army pursued a brutal scorched earth policy, bombing and forcing the abandonment of whole villages. Many tens of thousands have died, and the numbers of orphans is estimated in the hundreds of thousands. Asked once whether AmeriCare's transports arms, Macaulay said he would do so at the request of the U.S. government. In America's warehouse in Stamford, Connecticut, just down the road from Newtown, the town of New Canaan, is headquarters to AmeriCares, which did the gun running to the neo-fascist militias in Croatia during the breakup of Yugoslavia.
Reportedly, AmeriCares renovated the home of Robbie Parker, the father of Emily Parker from Sandy Hook.
Reportedly, there are Knights of Malta is linked to the Sandy Hook shooting.
Connecticut has a lot of right-wing Catholics. Reports that members of the clergy and some burly-looking nuns, one of which appeared to have an AR-15 under her clothing, were on the scene of Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings in Newtown last month, has led this reporter to begin looking into the activities of the international aid organization AmeriCares, an organization connected to a powerful and influential secret order leaked to the Vatican.
It's a Knight of Malta. Okay. And Sandy Hook links to CIA AmeriCares, Knights of Malta. The Knights of Malta reportedly unite the top Nazi families, the top Zionist families, and the top Mafia families.
Among
the top knights, we find
Michael Rubin, Bloomberg,
Michael Bloomberg,
Heinrich Himmler, Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller, King Juan Carlos, Otto von Habsburg, J. Edgar Hoover, Leonard G. Horowitz, and George W. Bush.
H.W.
Yes.
George H.W.
Excuse me.
We are not science experiments. You know, okay. But an anonymous left a new comment on the post, Child Abuse, Poland, UK, Australia, USA. It says, "Hi, I am the author of the article regarding the elite Australian pedo SRA ring. I have detailed my story at pedophilesdownunder.wordpress.com. Someone mentioned actor Bruce Spence, Mad Max and Dimbula, with the movies. He raped me during the ritual at Bathurst. I submitted an article to editor of a popular Australian news journal regarding a pedophile ring in northern New South Wales involving NSW Education Department, New South Wales Education Department, Police, Child Protection, DOCS. Witness told me every police officer transfer to local is a Catholic if they can help it. What a coincidence. If this story breaks, it is bigger than Newcastle or Victoria. I will post updates on Twitter at KateGardner666, which is the woman who wrote this. So that's kind of interesting, huh? The connection to the Catholic Church again and to the Catholics and all of this pedophilia.
The web.
Well, hey, somebody's got to supply those Catholic priests.
Yeah.
You know, all these little boys. My God.
Let's go to another.
I'm going to refer you to this. This is kind of interesting reporting, actually. The blog's name is A-A-N-G-I-R-F-A-N. I can't even pronounce that as a word.
Angerfan.
Angerfan. It's a blog spot. .blog.com. And really crazy. Really interesting stuff. But anyway, we went on quite a while with that one, but that was an interesting
stuff. There was a lot in there.
Now, the censorship of the Internet continues. Legislation to ban Internet cafes moves to Ohio Senate floor. Isn't that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just read that quick. Ohio lawmakers opposed to put an end to the state's Internet cafes. After hearing sometimes tearful testimony from owners and employees of Internet cafes, members of the state Senate Government Oversight and Reform Committee voted Tuesday in favor of legislation that would ban the businesses. Four of the committee's 11 members voted against House Bill 7, not enough to keep it from moving to the Senate. Now, that's bizarre why they would do that, but, you know, just another way to knock you out. You know, usually local Senate.
Yeah.
I don't understand a lot of local politics. I mean, somebody get a hard on for, for somebody in an Internet cafe, That doesn't make much sense to me. So, let's come on. Okay, here we go. I'm just curious why they would do that. But, oh, God, help us all. I think this thing's been hacked.
Again?
No, not mine. I think this page. The contentious legislation, which moved through committee without amendments, could end up on governor's desk this week. At the end of the day, a conclusion was the bill that we were given best answered question. Were given best answered the question that was before us. Jesus, some people should not be allowed to write. You know that?
Well, I think you're right.
They shouldn't be allowed to write in political. genres, because they can't write, period. Let's get out of here. Anyway, let's go.
There's a couple of audio.
Yeah, we could go to a break in a second, too. But...
there's one right here, okay. Palestinians say Israel is poison medication used by Gazan patients. It's pretty serious.
Yeah. That's present.
The Ministry of Health in Gaza has accused Tel Aviv of trying to poison Gazan patients. Officials said Israel, the sole provider for nitrous oxide gas used for anesthesia in the Gaza Strip's operating rooms, has four patients suffered cardiac arrest after inhaling carbon dioxide.
Tampering with nitrous oxide gas cylinders is unethical crime, and we hold Israel fully responsible for endangering the lives of our patients. This is another attempt by Israel to make life harder for the people of Gaza amid the ongoing blockade. Israel is the sole supplier of nitrous gas, and there is no one else to blame but the Israeli occupation.
Nitrous oxide mixed with oxygen is given to patients to ease the pain and induce sleep prior to surgeries. According to experts, replacing nitrous oxide with carbon dioxide causes cardiac arrest and could lead to death.
In anesthesia, we are giving 50% oxygen and 50% nitrous oxide. Those 50% has been replaced instead of being nitrous oxide to give the hypnosis and the analgesia during the operation, you are giving carbon dioxide. So it's replacing oxygen, which is supposed to let the brain live, the heart to act, and the other organs to function. So carbon dioxide is a killing agent if it's given by this concentration to the body.
According to human rights organizations, hundreds of Gazans have died in past years as a direct result of the choking Israeli blockade. Al-Damir Human Rights Association called for an international investigation to probe what it described as a new Israeli crime.
Israel is known for its crimes against Palestinian patients and the health sector for many years, and we also know that it has been doing experiments on Palestinian prisoners. So the switching of the medical gas does not come as a surprise to us. We are calling on the World Health Organization and the Red Cross to make a thorough investigation into this case.
Health officials said they have suspended the use of nitrous oxide for the time being. With the ongoing Israeli blockade and Tel Aviv's inhumane practices, patients in the Gaza Strip say their health situation will only get worse. Ashraf Shannon, Press TV Gaza.
It's a horrible, horrible, horrible crime what these people get away with. You know, this is Zionist insanity. The fact that the United States backs these people, it's just horrendous. You know, just absolutely horrendous. And these guys are doing experiments on Palestinians like the Nazis did, you know, supposedly did to the Jews. Starting to debate this whole Holocaust survival thing, you know what I mean? It really didn't happen the way they said it did. I mean, how could they do it to another group of people?
I don't know.
The same things they were supposedly doing.
They haven't learned anything from history.
They're murderers. They're miserable murderers, these Israelis. They're unbelievable. I mean, it's just a murdering... horrible people. Remember the private mercenary army, Blackwater, that caused such a stir in Iraq during the unprovoked attack in 2007? Well, apparently, Monsanto and the controversial security firm are in bed together. Described by blogger Randy Amanda, as a death tech firm weds a hit squad. At this point, you might be wondering, what in the world a general... GM seed giant needs with the services of a shadow army. It appears as though the corporation found it necessary to contract with Blackwater in order to collect intelligence on anti-Monsanto activists as well as infiltrate their ranks. Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting.
So, you see the minute you get an occupation, the minute you get a movement going, you know, the government and corporations and everybody else try to infiltrate the thing and destroy it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is from naturalnews.com, and we're going to have Lila read it.
It takes a while to
whenever
read it
comes
stuff.
Up.
I think there's an audio piece. I'm not sure if it's on this. I tried to play. Monsanto hires infamous mercenary firm Blackwater to track activists around the world. This is terrible. And this is by Caroline Wright and written on Sunday, May 26th.
For Natural News.
So wait a minute till that comes up. There it is.
Okay.
Remember the private mercenary... Remember the private mercenary firm Blackwater that caused such a stir in Iraq?
I already read that.
Came up?
Yeah.
Okay, protest Monsanto stalked by Blackwater. Notorious for the Iraqi Nisour Square massacre, Blackwater created a web of more than 30 shell companies or subsidiaries in part to obtain millions of dollars in American government contracts. After the security company came under intense criticism for elective conduct in Iraq, reports the New York Times. One of these subsidiaries became Total Intelligence, the company contracted by Monsanto between 2008 and 2010 to collect intelligence on activists rallying against GMO crops and other Monsanto activities, journalist Jeremy Scarhill states in The Nation. Entities closely linked to the private security, this is what he's saying, it's in quotes, entities closely linked to the private security firm Blackwater have provided intelligence, training, and security services to U.S. and foreign governments, as well as several multinational corporations, including Monsanto, Chevron, the Walt Disney Company, Royal Caribbean Cruises, and banking giants Deutsche Bank and Barclays, according to documents obtained by The Nation. Blackwater's work for corporations and government agencies was contracted using two companies owned by Blackwater's owner and founder, Eric Prince, Total Intelligence Solutions and Terrorism Research Center. Prince is listed as the chairman of both companies in internal company documents, which show how the web of companies functions as a highly coordinated operation. A spokesperson representing Monsanto admits the company hired Total Intelligence for information about the activities of groups or individuals that could pose a risk to company personnel or operations around the world, which are developed by monitoring local media reports and other publicly available information. The subject matter ranged from information regarding terrorist activities in Asia or kidnappings in Central America to scanning the content of activist blogs and websites.
However, what the spokesman failed to address is that, according to the documents secured by Scahill, Monsanto was willing to pay a sizable sum, up to $500,000, to Blackwater agents to infiltrate anti-Monsanto organizations. As the plot continued to thicken regarding Monsanto's tactics of domination, Ananda aptly notes, Monsanto, by hiring a mercenary army and former CIA field agents, is deadly serious about protecting its deadly products. Yet this contract further discredits the company. The public can now paint an even bleaker picture of the firm that brought us Agent Orange, PCBs, RBST, DDT, aspartame, and now Hitman.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's a company made in hell.
Oh,
spawned by the devil.
Oh, no question about it. And now Bill Gates just bought 500,000 shares of it. And
tells you where it
is. And yeah, it's an activist owned company. Monsanto. Devil's company.
It is. The devil's spawn.
The devil's spawn company. I mean, if Satan had a company, it would
be
that company.
That's all it is, this company.
Okay. Oh, this is interesting. How interesting is that? Exposed. Angelina Jolie part of a clever corporate scheme to protect billions in BRCA gene patents, influence Supreme Court decision. That's an opinion, but I don't know. That's interesting. Wonder Ortiz. There were a couple of things I wanted to mention tonight. Let's go to. I'd like to take a little music break for a second, and then I'd like to concentrate on two important articles, on health articles. Okay, one is the people would be very interested in. One is on tamaric, the spice that can replace 14 major drugs.
Huh.
And
I know you've talked about that.
I think that's important to be read. So I'm going to do that.
So why don't you do the music break first and then find the article?
Yeah, so let me do that, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Recent research shows Thunder God Vine compound.
Oh. All right. Science confirms turmeric is effective as 14 drugs, and they claim that they cite the different drugs, which is really cool. But turmeric is one of the most thoroughly researched plants in existence today. Its medicinal properties and components, primarily curcumin, have you ever used curcumin? I don't know. Have been the subject of over 5,600 peer-reviewed and published biomedical studies. In fact, our five-year-long research project on this sacred plant has revealed over 600 potential preventative and therapeutic applications, as well as 175 distinct beneficial physiological effects. This entire database of 1,585 hyperlinked NCBI hyperlinked turmeric abstracts can be downloaded as a PDF at our downloadable turmeric document page and acquired either as a retail item or the 200 GMI tokens for those of you who are already our members and receive them automatically each month. I signed up for this paper, by the way.
Given the sheer density of research performed on this remarkable spice, it is no wonder that growing number of studies have concluded that it compares favorably to a variety of conventional medications, including Lipitor, which is Atrovastatin, and a cholesterol medication.
Let's see. They continue on now. Prozac,
Flozetine, and Imprimine. It's an antidepressant, and steroid medications.
Right. And then you got aspirin,
which is a blood thinner.
This stuff works. This turmeric works better than all of these things. An extra vitro vivo study published in the journal found that curcumin, which is the ingredient in turmeric, has antiplatelet and prostacyclin modulating effects compared to aspirin, indicating it may have value in patients prone to vascular thrombosis and requiring anti-arthritis therapy. And for those, for people who can't take aspirin because it makes your stomach bleed, maybe you can take this.
Anti-inflammatory drugs like, it's an alternative to aspirin, ibuprofen, Sulindac, phenobutazone, naproxen, idomethacin, diclofenac, dexamethasone, Sila.
I wish they would have put the brand names in there. We would probably recognize a lot of them. Exerting anti-inflammatory and anti-proliferative activity against tumor cells.
It retards the growth of tumor cells, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
And it also replaces oxaliplatin, which is a chemotherapy drug.
A study published in the journal Cancer found that this turmeric curcumin, which is the ingredient, compares favorably with oxaliplatin as an anti-proliferative agent in colorectal cell lines.
So it replaces that. Metformin?
Yeah, which is a diabetes drug. And in 2009, a study published in the journal Biochemical Biophysical Research Committee explored how curcumin might be valuable in treating diabetes and finding that it activates AMPK, which increases glucose uptake and suppresses gluconeogenic gene expression in hepatoma cells in the liver. They found curcumin to be 500 times to 100,000 times in the form known as THC more potent than metformin in activating AMPK and its downstream target.
Acetyl-CoA carbonoxylase, whatever that means. In other words, it's more...
I'm surprised to get that. I don't think that's the same thing as in THC.
No, it's more effective, they're saying, than metformin, which is a diabetes drug. In other words, it increases your glucose uptake.
Like 500 to 100,000 times more potent.
Isn't that great?
Than metformin in activating it.
Another way in which turmeric and its components reveal their remarkable therapeutic properties is in research of drug-resistant and multi-drug-resistant cancers. We have two sections on our site dedicated to researching natural and integrative therapies on those topics. While there are dozens of substances with demonstrable efficacy against these chemotherapy and radiation-resistant cancers, curcuminin tops both lists.
Wow. And we have found no less than 54 studies indicating that curcumin can induce cell death or sensitize drug-resistant cancer cells to conventional treatment. We have identified 27 studies on curcumin ability to either induce cell death or sensitize multi-drug-resistant cancer cells aligns to the conventional treatment. And considering how strong a track record a turmeric or curcuminin has, having been used as both food and medicine in a wide range of cultures for thousands of years, a strong argument may be made for using curcumin as a drug alternative or adjuvant in cancer treatment. Or better yet, use certified organic turmeric, non-radiated turmeric, in lower culinary doses on a daily basis so that heroic doses won't be necessary later in life after a serious disease sets in. Nourishing yourself rather than self-medicating with nutraceuticals, they call them.
Oh.
Pharmaceuticals, nutraceuticals, should be the goal of a healthy diet. And it goes on all
these
different...
Well, this is very, very long, yeah.
Well, no, this is just, that's the end of it. It just goes on to say, to give more of all of the, the studies,
mm-hmm.
that have been done.
Was based on, this article is based on a whole number of them.
But, you know, can you imagine this thing replaces Prozac, aspirin, is much more effective than all of them. Anti-inflammatory drugs, chemotherapy drugs, and what's more interesting is the diabetes drug, okay, that these is 500 to 100,000 times more potent.
Wow.
Yeah, in reducing your blood sugar. And that's amazing. That's freaking amazing. Yeah. So, you know, get some of this stuff. This is, you can get it non-radiated, get organic, if you're going to get it, turmeric. T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C, okay?
It's as effective as 14 drugs.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Much more effective. And you can get this at...
with no side effects.
Yeah. Wake Up World is the name of the website. I guess it's .com. I'm not sure. It just says Wake Up World. Wake Up World. Wakeup-world.com. All right? And... And you can read, they got some fascinating articles in there on gardening and politics and all, everything that, involving with these kind of things. So please go to it and see. You'll be amazed at the different stuff that they have. They have a whole section just on health. Yeah, the one thing I do hate is how some sites just freeze up on you.
They just do.
See, new study links GMO food to leukemia. That doesn't surprise me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Anybody? There's a new study... Yet to receive any media attention, reveals the leukemogenic properties of a BT toxin biopesticides engineered into vast majority of GMO food crops already within the U.S. food supply. Last September, the causal link between cancer and genetically modified food was confirmed in a French study, the first independent. Let's check into that. This study links GMO food to leukemia. And now a new study published by the Journal of Hematology and Thrombobulic Diseases, indicates that the biopesticides engineered into GM crops, known as Bacillus thuringiensis. You're better at these words than I am. I can't even come close to pronouncing them. But crytoxins may also contribute to blood abnormalities, from anemia to hematological malignancies or blood cancers, such as leukemia. A group of scientists from the Department of Genetics and Morphology, Institute of Biological Sciences and University of Brasilia, Brazil set out to test the purported human and environmental biosafety of GM crops, and looking primarily at the role that the BT toxin found within, in virtually all GM food crops plays on non-target, non-insect animal species. You want to read that?
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
The
research was spurned by the Brazilian Collegiate Board of Directors of the National Sanitary Surveillance Agency, who advocated in 2005 for evaluations of toxicity and pathogenicity of microbiological control agents such as BT, given that little is known about their toxicological potential in non-targeted organisms, including humans. While Bacillus thuringiensis sporocrystals have been used since the late 1960s in agriculture as a foliar insecticide, it was only after the advent of recombinant DNA biotechnology that these toxin-producing agents, known as delta endotoxins, were first inserted into the plants themselves and released into commercial production in the mid-90s, making the presence in the U.S. food supply in the bodies of exposed populations ubiquitous. What the new study revealed is that various binary combinations and doses of BT toxins target mammalian cells, particularly the erythroid red blood cell lineage, resulting in white and red blood cell changes indicative of significant damage. Some of these adverse changes include anemia and suppression of bone marrow proliferation and abnormal lymphocyte changes consistent with some types of leukemia. The researchers also found
that one of the prevailing myths about the selective toxicity to insects, the target species, no longer holds true. And the studies are very technical, and I'm not, but it just says, it's been reported that crytoxins exert their toxicity when activated at alkaline pH of the digestive tract of susceptible larvae. And because the physiology of the mammalian digestive system does not allow their activation, and no known specific receptors in mammalian intestinal cells have been reported, the toxicity these MCAs to animals would be negligible. However, our study demonstrates that BT spore crystals genetically modified to express individually induced hematotoxicity, particularly to the enteroid lineage. This finding corroborates literature that demonstrated that alkali soluble BT spores.
Sounds too complicated, Leo.
It really is, but they're just saying that it's all over the place and it's in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And crytoxins are everywhere and they're killing everybody. So they cause leukemia.
Oh, boy.
That's really something. So, I can understand why these bastards are hiring Blackwater. Knocking at our door prison. But that was pretty scary, actually, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can go to that article again. I just said on the, wakeupworld.com. So, let's do this one here, this last one. Just to give you a few company names that Monsanto that uses GMO and Monsanto stuff, all right, is Aunt Jemima, Aurora Foods, Banquet, Best Foods, Betty Crocker, Bisquit, Cadbury, Campbell's, Soups, Capri Sun, that stuff that that kids drink everywhere. Carnation, Chef Boyardee,
Coca-Cola, ConAgra. I don't know what that is. Delicious Brand Cookies, Duncan Hines, Famous Amos, Frito-Lay, General Mills, Green Giant, Lean Cuisine, Lipton, Loma Linda,
Marie Callender's,
Minute Maid, Morningstar, Miss Butterworth, Nabisco, Nature Valley, Ocean Spray, Orida, Orville Redenbacher, Pasta Rioni, Petridge Farms, Pepsi, Pillsbury, Pop Secret, Post Cereals, and Power Bar Brand.
These are all companies that that use Monsanto's products. They're genetically modified foods. Wheat and barley and corn. That's what it is, guy. Now, I thought this was interesting. We could leave with this one tonight. Remember the Navy SEAL team that killed Osama bin Laden? Well, they got blown up in a helicopter a month later. And the two FBI agents involved in the arrest of Joghar Zarna, the Boston bomber, where conveniently fell out of a helicopter and died. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Yeah, these are the two guys who knew who interrogated the guy in the boat, I just thought this was fascinating, the coincidence that this is such a way that they get rid of people, who know too much. It's not a long article, but it should be read. Two members of the elite counterterrorism unit died Friday while practicing how to quickly drop from a helicopter to a ship using a rope, the FBI announced Monday in a statement. The statement gave two details regarding the death of Special Agent Christopher Lorick and Stephen Shaw, other than to say helicopter encountered unspecified difficulties and agents fell to a significant distance. Last month, the team was involved in the arrest of Zohar Zarnov, suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing. And in February, it rescued a 5-year-old boy held hostage for 6 days in the underground bunker in Alabama. Whenever things go really wrong, the FBI calls the hostage rescue team. It's the government's 9/11, Colson said. Well, Alvin Wells, a former FBI agent, who retired in 1990 after leading the Norfolk field office for 3 years, stressed that the hostage rescue team is different from the FBI's regular SWAT teams. He noted that agents assigned to a field office SWAT team also must perform other jobs inside the Bureau, while agents assigned to the hostage rescue team have no other duties. These were eyewitnesses to the shootout involving the alleged bomber. A full criminal complaint they're showing here. But it's kind of a fascinating thing to note that these guys kind of suddenly died because they knew too much. It's just a convenient death. But anyway, we're at the end of our show, and I want to thank everybody who joined us tonight and wish you a very pleasant evening. And join us tomorrow night when we do some union news and get Chicago. caught up on other things that are going on. So, good night, everybody. Lila says good night.
And I say good night, too.
And I say good night, and we mean it. Good night, everyone.
Have a good night, folks.